we're continuing with engaging God, and we're still looking at this pathway of relationship. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God has to be done through relationship and intimacy with God. It can't be independent of him in any way. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. So anything we do on our own is not going to produce any eternal value and any eternal fruit. So we need to flow from the inside out. Heaven can engage us through our spirit and the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to engage the world around us. Rivers of living water flowing through us, which is absolutely key. Now, we've seen on this journey that we have a gate within our spirit, which is like a stargate, a wormhole, which engages with another realm, the realm of heaven. And we have access to that realm, and that realm has access to us within our own spirit if we open the door. So it's up to us whether we open that door. And we're looking at this module about the gateways of body, soul, and spirit. And in this first part, we've been looking at understanding our gateways. We will look at using the court of accusation to deal with the blockages. And then once we've got that basis, we'll look at cleansing the gateways in specific details, looking to deal with familiar spirits and the other things that are operating there. So today we're going to look at opening our gates. Just want to talk about journaling just briefly before we start, because journaling is such an important thing in this process and in our process of our relationship with God. It's so easy to forget things. You know, things happen, we have a busy day, and things go from our mind. And if you don't revisit things, then the brain just thinks they're not important, and it shreds information at quite a high rate if you don't repeat it, so it stores it and forms pathways or links to it neurally within your mind. So it's important to try and keep records or notes. A dated journal is really helpful so that you can go back and look at it and see what God's done, but also so you can use it to go back into yourself. So essentially you can write your perception, your vision, feelings, impressions, and thoughts that you hear when you encounter God. And if you're looking at, particularly looking at the gateways, when you encounter a gateway, write down what you encounter. If you see something which shouldn't belong there, write it down. Doesn't mean you necessarily can deal with it there and then, but if you have a record of it, you can then go back. So then when you review and meditate over that, you can then go deeper into the experience and ask for revelation from God. I ask God questions all the time. Yeah, when I have an encounter of something or I see something that I don't fully understand, I go back and I just pester him with questions. What's this? Why is it here? What are you doing in this? What does this mean? And he'll talk to you. And building a relationship where we can hear God's voice, engage him, is so important, because we will get deeper revelation of all the things we've encountered if we go back into it. If it's just, well, I had that and then I forgot it, it won't actually outwork things in your life. So revisit and go back into the experience. So once you've written it down and you begin to re-engage it by meditating in it, it becomes a doorway. So you can use meditation, which is a very biblical practice, to focus and think about Jesus and think about the experience you've had with him, and then go back through that into that experience and experience it again at a deeper level, or go further than you did last time. And that becomes a testimony. Your testimony of your experiences, once you've journaled them and continue to experience them, they anchor that experience in the reality of your mind and within your heart. And when we get onto the garden of the heart, we'll look about how you sow those experiences to produce fruit. But the testimony then becomes a doorway to future experience. You can go through what you've already received in a testimony and experience it again. And you can give that testimony away to others and enable them to enter into and encounter themselves, and then they can have their own experiences. And that's what we're all looking for, our own personal experiences, not somebody else's. But someone else's testimony can open the door for us to have an experience. I do that all the time online, when we have encounters online, to open a door so people can experience things themselves. So use journaling as a key to help you move forward. Okay, we're looking at the gateways. We are a spirit, literally the breath of life God has breathed into us. That makes us God and spiritual realm conscious, so we're aware of that realm through our spirit. We have a soul, our personality, our mind, emotions, wills, memories, all the epigenetic hereditary encoding that's come from past generations, and that makes us self-conscious. And that's not always so good, depending on where that information has come from. But we also live in a physical body, and that makes us world conscious, and we engage that the world around us through our five physical senses. So the important thing is to see that if you don't open the first love gate, there's nothing that flows out. And if you don't open your spirit gates, then there's nothing that's going to go beyond your spirit, so you become a stagnant pool. And stagnant water ends up like the Dead Sea. Nothing lives. So it's important to have a flow of the river of life. Therefore, it's important to understand how we open the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body so that things can flow out and to understand what's in the way. We've seen that there are many things that can block a flow of the life of God from the inside. Familiar spirits could sit outside of our spirit gates because we may have illegitimately used certain things in our past or generational line. Our soul gates can actually have familiar spirits operating within them that produce things like guilt and shame, lies, hurts, doubts and fears. And we need to make sure we break the soul ties of our soul to spirit to operate independently in its own way. And we saw last time that within us, there the sinful nature and iniquity that through baptism in Christ, that we can be set free from those things so that we can have God in the center of our lives and not just in the center, but right filling us and overflowing so that we follow that path of life, love, joy, peace, life. And it's a narrow path. You know, it's only one way, God's way. So that everything then basically can flow from the inside out. And literally what we're looking for is our spirit becoming one spirit with the Lord and therefore growing, encompassing our soul and body until actually we engage the world through our spirit, and our spirit then directs everything else because everything else flows from that place of God. So up until we get born again, everything flows from the outside in. So everything we've learned is from the outside. We learned to relate to the world through our five physical senses, to interpret that world through electrical impulses in our brain. We see through those electrical impulses, and therefore we interpret spatial awareness and understand the world around us because we've learned. We hear and interpret pressure waves in the air as sounds and language so that we can understand things. We even interpret smell through chemical particles that form chemical signals, and those go to our brain. Taste, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, savory, all those things are learned through experience and practice. You know, how do you know what is sweet unless you taste something sweet? And then how do you know that's sweet unless someone says that's sweet? So we're dependent on a lot of things to understand ourselves and the world around us. Touch, what is hot, cold, soft, hard? Everything that we've learned, actually those memories of things that we've repeated are experiences that are stored and then reused to enable us to relate to the world. That's how we've learned things naturally. Through practice, we've trained our senses to engage with the physical world around us. Our soul also has senses that have also been trained from the outside in through nature, the things of the world around us, nurture, through our interaction with people, and trauma, things that have happened to us. Some of those things are good in that we may have received good things from our nurture. Some of them may be bad. And we have to discern between them to deal with those things that are bad so we're not influenced by those negative things. Our spirit also has to be trained from the inside out. Because when we get born again, it's like we become a child spiritually. Now, our spirit pre-existed and our spirit has encoded within it all the revelation of who we are and God's purpose for us, but we've been disconnected from that. And we can only re-engage it through relationship with God. So we need to learn to tune into God's voice on the inside, to see from the inside, to hear from the inside, to feel from the inside, to be guided from the inside, to smell from the inside. And I think, how can you smell from the inside? Well, in reality, your spirit has spiritual senses. It's like I've smelt fragrances of perfume in the room. Other people haven't smelt them. So they're not a physical, necessarily a physical fragrance that you're smelling. But your spirit has the ability to pick up spiritual fragrances. And Jesus carries a fragrance. Angels carry different fragrances that you can actually smell spiritually. And we have to learn to touch from the inside out. So we're not gaining information by what we touch physically, but what we're doing is imparting something through our touch. Hence, we can lay hands on people and see them get healed, because we're imparting an anointing that flows from the inside to touch people. We can actually speak, and our words carry power and authority to change things. That's why Jesus said that we will have to give an account for every idle word, because our words have power. Actually says in Proverbs that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it's really important that we understand how to frame things, how to frame our existence by the things we say. Not coming into agreement with negative things, but coming into agreement with the things that God says about us. And then when we agree, there's power in agreement. And we can see a manifestation of that agreement in our lives. So our spiritual senses are all trained through our relationship with God in us. They're not trained separately from him in any way. So God is all-knowing, omnipresent, and all-powerful, and he's in us, and we're in him. So what does that make us? It makes us to have the ability to engage with an all-knowing God, and therefore everything that he knows is available to us. He is omnipresent, so anywhere where he is, we have access to be in the spirit. He's all-powerful, so that we, in our spirit, can operate in that power that he equips us with, to be able to do the things that he does. And Jesus said we would do the things that he did and even greater things. So we have to have access and operate everything from our relationship with God. This generally works as a spontaneous flow of revelation knowledge. It doesn't work by us trying to figure it out or work it out. It's flow spontaneously from that relationship, and we have to learn to pick up those spontaneous thoughts and act on them rather than dismiss them or let them go by. We have to engage them and flow with them. So the thoughts of God can literally dance in our mind, and it's like that when you really engage God. It's like a dance of thoughts in our mind that we can tune into and engage with. Visions and pictures form in our imagination. Feelings of God can move our emotions. They can direct us through those feelings. Impressions of God can motivate our wills. We can have that impression, I know what to do. We get that, the old way of saying is an unction of the Holy Spirit, where basically we are moved by that impression that God is calling us to do something. Now, our gifts and our callings and our redemptive gift and how we've been made by God are linked to the activities of these gates. Because God uses the function and the senses of our spirit, soul, and body to facilitate us outworking who we are, who he created us to be, how he redemptively shaped us. And we may have differences in who we are. Because we've been made differently, we're all unique. Therefore, we need to understand ourselves and how he made us to be. So, prophetically, our revelation gate and our hope gate can release things from the realm of the prophetic. Spiritual gifts can flow. Intuition, words of knowledge, wisdom, distinguishing of spirits. Just knowing can come through that intuition gate. Healing, miracles can flow through the faith gate. We all need reverence, fear of God, and prayer gates open to have an intimate relationship. It's a two-way flow every day. It's not something we do and go and pray. Well, I'm going to go and pray now as if, well, God's going to hear me now and he didn't hear me 2 seconds ago when I wasn't praying. We're praying all the time. We need to see prayer is just a communication of life with God and from God that we can have all the time. It's not something that we do for 10 minutes in the morning. You know, it needs to be a lifestyle of continual flow of relationship and the fear of God, the awesomeness of God, the reverence of just that, never wanting to do anything that displeases God or causes harm in any way. Now, it all boils down to, in these things, will we be a worshipper? And a worshipper is one who, in obedience, bows down to God and says, you are the Lord, you're the King, you're the Father. and I'm going to surrender and submit to you. I'm not going to do things my own way anymore. I'm going to flow you. Because you can have a word of knowledge and not use it. You can have intuition, but if you don't use it, then it's a waste of time. So God wants you to use the things that he's equipped you to have and to who you are for his glory, and so that you will outwork your eternal destiny. Now, in everything that we're doing, every one of us must create our own personal pathway of relationship. And you do that by repeatedly walking that way with God. You see, you can walk a path once and forget the way you walked. But if you walk that path every single day, it will be so ingrained in you that you can live from that experience of God and the relationship you have. See, you can't have my personal experience. You can only have yours. I share my testimony of the things that I've encountered and the prayers that have been helpful on my journey, so you can take those prayers and make them your own. You know, use those things as a basis to develop your own ways and your own words so that you can engage God personally yourself. And it may be very different from me, because we're all different and engaged differently, but the principles are the same. Every one of us can have a personal, intimate relationship with God, which is growing on a daily basis if we choose to walk that way. If you don't put any effort into walking that way, you'll never know God in any depth or intimacy. It's like same with anyone else. If you spend no time with somebody, you're never going to know them. You can read all about them in the book, but you never know them. And God wants us to know him by personal experience. That means walking this pathway out ourselves. So it's really important to understand the basic processes for engaging our gateways. And I'm going to run through some basic things, and we'll go into them in more depth when we look at how to cleanse the gateways and use the gateways. But these are just basic principles. Everything's a daily choice to create that lifestyle where you live in the natural realm, but are directed and guided from the spiritual realm. It's a choice that every one of us can make or not make. We then live out that intimacy of our relationship with God within. We live it out daily. It's a daily choice. When you get up in the morning, you have to choose to go God's way rather than your own. Just because you did yesterday doesn't guarantee that you will today unless you choose to. And so, you know, God has given us the free will to choose, and he's given us that dignity. He shows how important we are in terms of his purposes, because he's given us that ability to make those decisions, and he's trusted us to do it. But we have to decide every day. If you don't open your first love gate today, then you're going to have no flow. You may have some residual from yesterday, but it's not going to flow, and it soon runs out. So it's important that this becomes a daily lifestyle, not a ritual and a religious duty, because we can all get into that, because that's what the enemy tries to get us into. And then we can get into fear. Well, if I don't pray today, will something go wrong? Well, what you fear will come upon you, more than likely. So don't get into fear. Operate in relationship. Because he's given us the authority to frame our own day, to bring favor and blessing and his purpose and plan around our lives on a daily basis. But we have to choose to do it. Now, one of the things a lot of people say to me all the time is, well, I can't see. What if I can't see it? How do I engage a gateway if I can't see it? Now, this is where we get stuck on a visual perception. The word see is not just vision. It actually means really to perceive. So to have a perception is to have an understanding based on an interaction. That may be visual. If it's visual for you and you can see the gate and you can see what it looks like and you can see yourself walking through it, awesome. That's what I learned to do. But I don't do that all the time. Sometimes I just engage and I flow because I'm thinking about something else, and I can do two things at once because I've learned how to do that. Now, I can still perceive everything flowing through my gates when I'm not focused on them, because I've learned to direct how I can use my senses in that way. So don't get hung up on, well, I can't see it, therefore it can't be real. Thomas was called Doubting Thomas because he said, I'm only going to believe it if I see it. Now, That's not faith. Faith is believing it because God says it, and that you know in your spirit that it is true. And then you can operate on that faith. So it's really, really important to engage by faith. Always engage by faith. Whether you see, hear, have impressions, feelings, senses of knowing things, you engage by faith. Because when you engage by faith, you get a reward. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if we're going to please God in everything we do, we have to engage through faith. For he who comes to God, so if we're going to engage in faith, we must come to God. And must believe. So faith is believing and putting that belief into action by coming on the basis of it. And if we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, then we will get the reward of seeking him. If you come to him in a sort of vague hope that you may sort of get through, or he might hear you sometimes, then you're pretty unlikely to hear him and engage him on a regular basis. So start cultivating that belief. How do you cultivate a belief? Start thinking about him. Start fixing your eyes on him. Start engaging him. And in that engagement, then the relationship will grow. So faith is an absolute key when we do anything in the realm of the spirit. And everything in life really needs to be done through faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." Now that word hope is not a wish. It actually means white hot expectation. Those things that you have an expectation of, faith is the substance or the assurance of those things. So if you don't know what you want, and you don't know what God has said, then there's very little for faith to engage with. That's why the promises of God are so important to us. Because those promises of who God is and what he's promised us and who we are form the basis of our faith. So we can then engage in the assurance that what he says is true. And that then becomes a conviction of things not seen. It's like, I know they're true, even though I haven't seen them. And I live for 25 years like that as a Christian, having seen nothing, heard nothing, not really engaged anything, but I believed. And I had a relationship with God, not based on very personal things. But that changed so that now it's very personal and very real. But if I saw nothing and heard nothing, it would not stop me believing. Because I have that deposit of foundation that I know that I know that I know that God is true, God is real, God is my Father, and he loves me. And that forms the basis of my relationship. So I'm not seeking after experiences to prove that. I already know it's true, and the experiences are the outworking of that truth. I don't have to try and create it or make it up. It is true, and then I experience the truth when I act on it. So it is our, if our hope or our desire or expectation is to engage our gates, for instance, and we choose to believe without necessarily seeing, God will reward us. And we will begin to engage, and fruit will come from that. What is the reward? Reward is that our conviction will produce fruit in our lives, and we will learn to perceive and to flow in it. We will start to see change and transformation take place because we've chosen to engage. Now, the more you train your senses and more practice, and that's the whole first part of this whole manual, is about training your senses by meditating and learning to see and use your imagination, then the easier it is to be able to engage. But if you haven't done any of that yet and you're still learning, you can still engage by faith and you will still get positive results from that in the journey. So how do we engage our soul gates? Well, by acting in faith and meditating on each gate. From the inside through your spirit. Don't try and use the outside experiences to engage it. Because this has to come through your spirit and my spirit and God's spirit, not from our cognitive trying to work it out and figure it out. So do it from the inside by opening up your first love gate. Invite Jesus to stand in each gate and to give you revelation about how each gate functions in you. Ask him. Build your relationship by asking for the revelation that comes through engaging him. Invite the flow of the river of life to wash and cleanse each gate, because there is the washing of the water of the word, and the river and water flows. Invite the light and the glory and fire of God to purify and refine each gate. Now, these are illustrations of a flow of something that's coming from inside to touch each gate and to enable it to open. Invite Jesus to be Lord of each gate. I don't want to be in control of my own gateways. Jesus said that the Father in him did his work flowing through him. And I want the same thing. I don't want to be trying to work out what to do. I want God to direct me and to do it through me, so I just cooperate and flow with him. So engage each gate by acting in faith and speaking to it. Speak to your soul. You know, David said, soul, remember. Now, we have to direct our soul by choice because it's used to doing its own thing. So you have to bring it back into line. So I spoke and I speak to my soul every day and tell it to give up, stop trying to do its own thing, and to surrender. And then David said, my soul pants and thirsts after the living God. He had such a relationship with God, his soul wanted everything to flow from God rather than the outside. So we need to yield control and direction to our spirit and command and speak to it. So we can declare, soul, you will not motivate me or control me or block the flow of the spirit. You know, find your own words, but take authority. Take possession of each gateway and place Jesus at the center of it. You know, give God central place in every area of your life. Cleansing the gateways. Now, the gateways may have been affected and damaged or affected in negative ways. Use the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has power. There is power in the blood. It's an old song, but it's absolutely true. The life of the flesh is in the blood, it says. So there's something powerful about the blood of Jesus that can change and transform and restore and make it flow from the inside. Repent. You know, repentance is a change of mind or a turning from one thing to another. Acknowledge our sin. Take responsibility for not guarding and using the gates correctly in the past. You know, don't make excuses. Own it. Whatever you own, you can deal with. If you don't own it, you can't deal with it. So we have to own some of these things. Take the blood of Jesus by faith and wipe the gate clean and redeem it. Now, well, how do you do that? Simply by an act of faith. It's like, you know, when we get onto the gateways of the spirit, soul, and body, in particularly cleansing them, we'll go into this in specific detail. But you can use these things as ways to deal with the gate. And illustrations, the Bible is full of illustrations that you can use to help you engage it. Now, because the soul gates are usually influenced by demonic familiar spirits and our sin nature, which we saw last week has been crucified with Christ, but we have to reckon it dead daily. Because it's been influenced by that, we have to deal with that influence. Take back possession of our souls. Dispossess anything residing there. Demonic spirits, blockages, strongholds, control systems, whatever's there, which is a hindrance, we must take back possession of it. If it has a hold over us, whether it's an addiction or a mindset or a habit, we can take and break those things if we apply the truth to them. Now, there will be legal rights that the enemy has to occupy and block that flow of the river of life. Because the enemy is a legalist and will operate legally, and everything in the kingdom is a judicial system. So we need to understand how to use the court system and the judicial process, and we'll be looking at that next week. When you know how to use that, you will have, and it will give you authority over the spiritual forces, mindsets, habitual patterns, behaviors, addictions. It will give you authority over them to break the patterns and to see new, good lifestyle develop. But you have to know how to take that authority, which is so important. So as our gateways open and you begin to engage them, there may well be some conflict between soul and spirit and between those spiritual forces. As the kingdom of God and the rule of God begins to exert influence, then that conflict heightens. Internal pressures often squeeze things to the surface. How many of us have experienced when things are difficult at times, things come to the surface that we didn't think were there? usually by the things we say or the things we think. Things may appear to get worse before they get better. Okay? When you're starting to deal with the things that are on the inside of you, they start to kick off to try and intimidate you. Don't be intimidated or fearful or back off from the process. You have to take authority and push through that to overcome it. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent men take it by force. You have to exert the authority that you've been given. If you don't use it, it will overcome you. But if you use it, you will overcome it. Begin to enforce the kingdom of God, the authority of our spirit over the soul and the body and the world around us. So eventually we actually take authority of our, in our spheres of influence, and we rule with God as his children. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom, his rule, and his righteousness, his way of being and doing, and all these things will be added. So all the things that we try and get for ourselves will be given to us when we actually seek him first. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. God loves us so much that he gives us the power to overcome everything and anything. We overwhelmingly conquer. We are more than conquerors, in another version. So we can defeat anything, any obstacle, anything that the enemy has put in place can be defeated. Nothing is impossible with God, if we know our authority and we seek first the kingdom. In the spirit, by faith, start to engage. There's a name of God, which is Jehovah Nissi. And it's like the Lord, my banner of victory. It's like, use that as a declaration that Jesus rules your gate. Raise the banner that Jesus is Lord over each gateway and continue the process. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of one, talking about Adam, death reigned through that one, that's the whole old nature, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. See, we don't make ourselves righteous. He makes us righteous and we are the righteousness of God in him. It's not something we can try and become. We already are in him. But we have to use that so that we will reign. We will rule in life. We will overcome. We will actually become sons of God, outworking the fullness of our destiny when we learn to engage who we really are. Don't give up. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Our generation wants everything instantly. And to be honest, the whole charismatic movement has propagated that by, we'll lay hands on everyone and that's it. It will be done. It can help, but it doesn't take away our responsibility to outwork it ourselves. We must walk it out in our own life. You can receive deliverance. Someone can cast a demon out of you. But if you do not replace that with the truth so that you live in the opposite spirit, then it will come back, the Bible says, with seven worse. You know, and we don't want that. So we have to live out of the authority and the power that we've been given. So what will shut a gate and stop the flow? Having a wrong focus, trying to meet your own needs by drawing from the outside, will stop everything flowing from the inside out. Independence, living your own way, not seeking first the kingdom, is idolatry, because you're putting something else before God, an idol. And if you worship and bow down to an idol, you give it authority in your life, whatever that idol might be. Not having a kingdom focus, not opening your first love gate daily, so that you have God in the center and he can flow through. If you don't do that, then what are you going to be focused on? You're not going to be directed and guided what's on the inside. You're going to be subject to the circumstances of the life that's around you every day. And that's how a lot of people live. Going from one catastrophe and difficult circumstance to another because they don't take authority over it. You know, it's a series of disasters because we live controlled by the circumstances of life around us rather than us taking authority to bring the kingdom into those circumstances so that the favor and blessing and the glory and the presence of God actually functions around us and the angelic realm operates around us and the life of God is bringing blessing to us every day, that we're empowered to prosper and succeed. Everything comes from opening that gate. Unconfessed sin gives the enemy the right to accuse you, to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation. And how many of us has the enemy said, "Whoa, how call yourself a Christian? How can you be used by God when you think that, when you say that, when you do that?" Because we haven't dealt with the things that we've done. Because we feel guilty and ashamed, and we run and hide in the bushes and try and make cover it up. Whereas God says, "Come and run to me and I'll forgive you. All you have to do is confess it, own it, and I will completely cleanse you and restore you." Don't run away from God when you mess up. Run to him. Because he'll restore you immediately when you confess and own what you've done. Don't allow the enemy to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation, which will always remove your confidence in serving God. So how do you keep a gate open and flowing? Keep short accounts. By confessing and repentance as soon as your conscience picks up sin. Because it will. When you begin to train it, and where reverence begins to direct it, you'll be more sensitive to what those things that displease God. And there are things right now that we do that are displeasing to God and we don't even know. But the more intimate we become in our relationship, the more revelation gets released, reverence points to those things, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't even realize that that was offensive to God. And some of the things we say and some of the words we use and some of the attitudes that we have can be offensive to God. That's why they're called stinking attitudes, because they smell. You know, now we're supposed to produce a sweet smell to God, because our life is a living sacrifice, not a stink. You know, so God will reveal those things, but there's no guilt associated to them. We just need to own it and be changed and transformed. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit through conviction, through being sensitive to warnings, intuition, those little checks in your spirit that will hold you from making a wrong decision. Don't ignore them. Train them and listen to them. Lack of peace is a key to understanding that something's going on incorrectly in our spirit and our soul. You know, particularly in the area of the soul, lack of peace is a good function. Why am I feeling this way? Something isn't quite right. Is a key that something's going on that you can deal with. Heaviness, oppression. The enemy can bring things over you that you're under, and then all of a sudden you realize, why am I feeling like this? Because something is going on the inside. Become sensitive to those things. Spend as much time as possible strongly praying in tongues. Flowing, whether you do that out loud, whether you do that in your mind, whether your spirit just flows in it, tongues edifies, builds up, and enables a flow to go. Luke 11:17 says, "A house divided cannot stand." So if you are divided, and we're referred to as a house or a temple or a dwelling place of God, if we're divided, spirit, soul, and body, then it's very difficult to stand firm. So it's important that we remove all the division and the separation so that we can stand firm in oneness, wholeness, peace, unity in us and with him. Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." There are things that also go in the heavenly places that we need to deal with. And we'll learn how to do that in the future. But don't try and struggle against your flesh. Trying to control it needs to die. You need to surrender control and give it to God. Don't struggle with it. Just surrender it. Don't wrestle with it. But there are things that we should wrestle with. Those are the things that we need to dispossess that were within our soul. Recognize that it's we are responsible to exercise authority and to rule over the gates of our lives. No one else is. You can't blame anybody else. Each one of us has the authority and is responsible to do and rule in those gates and work with God in flowing from the inside out. Ian Clayton said this, "Don't expect to take a nation until you've taken a city. Don't expect to take the city unless you've taken your church. Don't expect to take your church unless you've taken your family. Don't expect to take your family unless you've taken your own gates." It starts in us and develops outward, not from the outside in. So make sure that everything flows from the inside out. And even when Jesus told the disciples about the Holy Spirit coming, Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. It started in the center and went outwards. So it starts in us and engaged outwards. So engages our spirit and goes out. So let's just finish with some example prayers that you can use the words and then make them your own for each of the gates. A prayer for your conscience gateway, which is a real key one. Today I bring my conscience gate into submission to my spirit. I release the life of God to flow from my spirit through the gateways of reverence and fear of God to produce a consciousness of God's righteousness and truth. Now, I use these prayers every day for about 3 years until they became just life. Now, I don't use the prayers, but I live in the good of what those prayers have created. So make your own words. These are just words that I developed from things that I'd heard and things that I'd experienced myself. So where my soul has been seared by sin, I now take the sword of the Spirit and cleave the gateway. So use the word of God, the promises of God, as a sword to cut open the gates, to clear the blockages, to slice off the heads of those things that are in the way. Cleave the gateway open, allow the flow of God through it to dictate my actions. Father, make me aware of my actions that I may submit to your authority in my soul. Today I take authority over the spiritual force or condition that's resistant to the flow of God in me. I loose it and cast it out of this gateway. In Jesus' name, I make Jesus Lord over my conscience gateway today. Now, just because you say those words once probably isn't going to do the job if there are things that you need to deal with judicially and remove things through repentance, but they are setting out your desire and you're making a statement to the enemy that you're not having this anymore. You're not going to just give in and allow these things to operate. You must rise up and take authority. Father, I thank you that my conscience gateway is full of your glory. Start thanking God. Thanksgiving is such a key to a flow of blessing. So thank him for what you're going through. It may not be fully completed, but thank him as if it is, because faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. I apply reverence and fear of God to my conscience so it will now dictate my body's actions in the world. I thank you that my reverence activated conscience receives and releases the flow of godliness and holiness through it. This type of praying needs to be forceful, determined, and persistent to maintain victory and to widen the gateway's flow. You just can't do it once. You have lived, controlled, and influenced lives. Your lives have been controlled by those inner issues for all your life. It's going to take some determination and persistence to get rid of them, but you will be able to if you persist. Inner healing, deliverance, lie busting, they're all helpful things. Someone can stand and get alongside you and help you in the process. You don't have to do it all on your own. Sometimes it helps someone to come with an objectivity to hear God when you struggle to hear him for yourself. It's okay. Getting someone else to stand with you in agreement for this process is a good thing to do. So get a lie bus. Find out what some of the lies are which are blocking the gates and the flow of life. But be deliberate about your transformation. Don't just leave it to chance willy-nilly. Well, maybe it'll happen. It will happen if you take responsibility for it and flow with it. Imagination gateway. This is a key area because it feeds into the storage of everything we see, do, feel, and hear, touch. Everything is engaged through those senses. God gives us most visual image and revelation on the screen of our imagination. Once clean, revelation, the ability to perceive, the realms of the kingdom are heightened considerably. Once these gateways are flowing, everything becomes sharper, clearer, easier to hear, feel, sense in our lives. Negative images can be a major error the enemy uses to stop the flow of the Spirit, particularly for men, because men are very visual. Ladies tend to function more emotionally, but as men, we have images that we've seen that can be a hindrance, and at most inopportune moments, the enemy can flash things into our mind to disrupt us if we haven't dealt with them. But we'll learn how to deal with those things. Deal with the images from our past. Acknowledge their presence in your life. Own the sin. bring the image into the light, take the blood of Jesus and apply it to the image like a paintbrush. It's like, hold the image up and paint it out, obliterate it. Those memories and the neural pathways that link to those memories can be completely broken. Sorry, I have loads of testimonies where I can not even remember the things that I did or that happened or that I saw anymore. They're completely gone and the pathways are broken, so that now you can have good things to store up in your mind. That's why meditating on the truth, speaking the truth, confessing the truth, operating in that replaces the lies. If you focus on the lie, then the lie takes the central stage. Focus on the truth. Those things can and will be broken if we deal with them. Our reason gateway, that's where beliefs, doctrines, and values are. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we are destroying speculations. So those speculations are those what-ifs that the enemy will always throw into your mind, like he did with Adam and Eve. You won't surely die. And every lofty thing, in other words, if God is the highest knowledge, anything we put above the knowledge of God is a higher thing. So if God says you're his child and you think, well, I'm not worthy to be his child, you're putting something above the knowledge of God and believing it. So it's a lofty thing, raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is absolutely vital in this process. You must take the thoughts captive at their point of origin. Then you can deal with them. If you allow them to go round and round in your mind, you will begin to spiral down a pattern of behavior that will take you to a place you don't want to be. So take the thought captive immediately. Now, the more you know the truth, the easier it is to take the lies captive until you get rid of the lies completely from you. But use that in this process. Make it obedient to Christ, whatever it is. So, Father, today I release the glory of the kingdom of God, the cleansing river of life, into my reason gate to purge and clean my negative values, my mindsets and belief systems. Demolish all the strongholds that argue against your truth. I repent and renounce doubt, unbelief, rationalism, skepticism, cynicism, and denial. Father, cleanse me of all false doctrine, philosophies, and ideas. I receive a flow of supernatural wisdom from your word to change my life. I ask you to renew and restore my ability to reason with you. I choose to use my reason gate to interpret your thoughts and understand your ways. Subconscious mind gate is another area of the heart, the soil, the hard stones, weeds, those areas. Example prayer, again, for stronghold mindsets, beliefs that are there. Father, today I release the glory of the kingdom of God and the cleansing river of life into my subconscious mind, into my memories to purge, clean them, so that I may receive supernatural revelation from your word to change my life. I release the life of God through the gateway of revelation in my spirit, like a river to flush out, wash and restore my mind, so that I may have the mind of Christ operating in me, so that the actions of my body reflect the kingdom of God and its outworking in my behavior to all those around me. Now, I'm sort of going through these so you can use them as an example. Emotions, gateways, feelings, hurts, pains. Father, today I release the glory of your kingdom and the cleansing, healing waters of the river of life into my emotions. I repent or renounce all unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, and self-pity. I ask you to heal my hurts and painful memories and to purify and restore my emotions. Use my emotions to feel your heart and guide me through intuition. Body gateways. Will gateways, all right. Father, today I release the glory of the kingdom of God and the cleansing, healing river of life into my will. I repent and renounce all sin, rebellion, stubbornness, willfulness, defiance, control, fear, doubt, unbelief, indecision, all those things operate in the will. I ask you to purify and restore my will, restore my courage, perseverance, and persistence. Use my will to enable me to do your will through obedience and true worship. Body gateways. We need to learn to see from the inside out and hear from the inside out. Therefore, the body must become a servant of the soul and the soul the servant of the spirit. The spirit must become a bondservant of Jesus in the center of our being, joined to the Lord and one spirit with him. So, an example prayer for our eye gate. Father, today in Jesus' name, I release the flow of the glory of God through the gateway of first love, the gateway of revelation, into the gateway of my imagination, and out through the gateway of my eyes, that I might see into the realm of the kingdom, and then with renewed spiritual sight, may my eyes become a flame of fire to the demonic world as I reflect the glory of God inside me. You see, demonic world sees you as light. And, you know, there have been people who've been born again who were witches and warlocks and things, and they will tell you that they don't mess with people who have flames of fire coming out of their eyes. They don't mess with you because they know they're in trouble. But if you have this small little flicker of an ember on the inside of you, they will mess with you and attempt to. So it's important that we actually see and have the light of God from our eyes. And you can read about that in Revelation 1, about what it is to look like the fire of God and the light of God in the spiritual realm. Father, today I release the flow of the glory of God through the gateway of first love and the gateway of reverence into the gateway of my conscience to protect the gateway of my eyes, my ears, my touch, etc., to guard the windows and entrance points into my soul, and to direct the flow of the river of life out into the world through what I say and touch. See, what you say and what you touch should have an effect of bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But it has to flow from the inside out. Now, I've given you quite a lot there, I understand. But it's important that you consistently cleanse your gateways and get a flow of the life of God. If you don't do it, then you will be subject to what's operating there, and it will control or influence you. If you begin to open it and see these things flow, it may be difficult, you may have to work it through, but you will be able to deal with everything and every bondage and every addiction and everything else that's controlling you, because the power of God is greater than all those things. And when you're in agreement with the power and the anointing of God that can flow from the inside, then it can change and transform everything in our lives. Amen.